People say attitude makes or breaks a person. I believe whatever attitude you have will determine your day. You see, even if you have a bad day, but with a great attitude, you can turn any day into an amazing day. Today I want to talk to you about how to have a great attitude with every situation that comes your way. Our attitude reveals a lot about what's within us, whether we will be strong and hopeful, or we will quit when faced with adversities. Well, you decide. The difference between two people are not the resources they have, the culture they are in, or the family they are born into. The true difference between two people are simply just the decisions they make. And that's it. You make the decision. Whether you have or you don't have, you decide. You see, whether you are rich or poor, your attitude will tell. Do you know that the richest person in the world, it's not because of his money, but because of his attitude? Let me show it to you in the Bible. If you would turn with me in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 24 till 26. This book is written by King Solomon, considered to be a very, very wise man. And it reads like this in verse 24, "A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God." Verse 25, "For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment?" Verse 26, "To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth, to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after wind." Now, I don't know if you noticed this. It says there in verse 26, "To the person who pleases him, God gives three things. They are wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth in the end to hand it over to the one who pleases God." You see, the one who has a great attitude is the one who have received wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. At the end, the person who may have all the money in the world but does not get the opportunity to enjoy what they have find themselves needing to buy the very thing that God gives us freely for those who love him. But you can't buy wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Not being able to enjoy what you have, King Solomon in the end of verse 26 says, "This too is vanity and striving after wind." Truly, the rich of a man is not in his wealth, but it is in his attitude. It is in the things that God gives him. It is in the things that we can't find, nor can we buy on this earth. Another place in the New Testament, we found Apostle Paul quoting in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." This amazing statement that Apostle Paul reveals to us that the secret in his life, it's about being content. So how did Apostle Paul discover such a secret? And how did King Solomon figure out that in all the wisdom that he has, in the end of the life, it all goes back to what matters most? King Solomon has discovered the best of his life comes from God. And I believe that in the same way, Apostle Paul, his secret that he found was found in Jesus. But how, you may ask? Well, there's another place in the Bible, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. God says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." There are many things that we cannot achieve just because we have might or power. In fact, a lot of times there are great men, great women, great in the society, leaders, and they have all that they have. But unless they have the true spirit in them to keep on keeping on, to stay on the course, oftentimes they find that every power, every ounce of might they have are being exhausted, and they find themselves frustrated. They find themselves exasperated, dried up, and they cannot continue on. A true leader is one who never gives up. One who has a great attitude, whose attitude is formed by a spirit that is within them that says there's more to go and there is no room to quit. The Spirit of God is not any other spirit. It's not a spirit of the moment, sort of a genie that comes out of a bottle. The Spirit of God is a life-giving spirit. It has the ability to change us from the inside out. In Job chapter 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." Today, I would like to ask you, who or what gives you this life that comes from within, that when you wake up in the morning and you know it is more than just you that wants to get up and create endless possibilities? But you have to decide, what will be that source? In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, says, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I've mentioned that the difference between two people are truly in the decisions they make. Joshua chose God, who is the source of his life. Jesus, in John chapter 10, verse 10, says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He also says in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have light of life." It is very important to know that this is our confidence. Jesus, by dying on the cross, has forgiven our sins, and he has also given us the freedom to live. The second part of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "The old things passed away, behold, new things have come." I'm reminded that each day, it's a history-making day. So how is your day going to be? You decide whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. It all depends on your decision. I hope you would make a decision to always have Christ in you. But by merely going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus quote, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" How is it that God, who is all-knowing, says, "I do not know you"? I can assure you, he is certainly not talking about knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." God is talking about a relationship. Jesus, when he was speaking to these religious people, he was talking about that they were more interested in the acts, the behaviors, the acceptance, and the whole status about being a Christian. But never once were they truly doing anything according to God's will, nor are they interested in having a relationship with Jesus. People ask all the time, "How do you have a great day?" I'll tell them, my great day comes from Jesus. By having a relationship with him, he changed the way I think. He changed my attitude. He forms my spirit. If I ever have a bad day or I lost in a game, though I didn't intend it to, I tell myself it's okay. I can always learn how to lose once a while. Apostle Paul says it best in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." I hope you have enjoyed the time that we spent together in the Word, and I hope that you will find yourself refreshed, rejoiced, and strengthened in our Lord Jesus Christ. In this, I pray that you choose to have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in your life every day. Amen.